Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, DJ Khaled, Cosmic Music.
We the best.
Yeah,
we taking over.
Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, on North Carolina, Philadelphia, Virginia. From down in Miami, where it warm in the winter. All up the Minnesota, where it storm in the winter. Jacksonville, Tallahassee, Mifflin, holla at me. B&H Town, Southside, Cloverland, Daddy, I'm the man out in Dallas. Better ass talent. Catman, Cali, with my eyes open, valley. Blowing that spinning, going down Vinny. Drop 6-4-3, we'll get switching. Red light stop, make it drop on the bitch. Got a block cold trip, blow your head out with it. Anything you hear that I said, I meant it. Kane got the crown, then spit out with it.
Hey, 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 everybody. You are on the air with Pammy Gates stepping in tonight for my pen bestie, Octavia Grant, who's out there working hard tonight. So I'm going to be providing you lip service, unscripted, in my style. One of the first things that I want to say to you guys is make sure if you have not already, check out Captured by the Game 2, which is my Pen Bestie's latest release. You can find it on Amazon. Look up Octavia Grant, and you won't be disappointed, I promise you. So let's kick it right off and get into the first thing I want to talk about tonight. The first thing I want to talk about is Nicki Minaj. I have had the opportunity to listen to her new song. And all I'm going to say about this song is we need to go back to the starting block. This has to be some sort of belated April Fool's joke. I mean, true, she threw some disses in there. You know, she was getting out there talking about, you know, this being on TV shows, which I thought was a diss at Safari because, you know, he don't love hip hop. And, you know, I think she threw in some disses at Remy and Cardi. But what really got me was her interview that she did on Apple. And if you guys, I know if you're on Instagram, you've probably seen clips and snapshots of people just posting it. But she was talking about being hurt because Cardi B didn't show her any love in the first interview that she did after Motorsport came out. In my opinion, when Motorsport came out, it was Quavo's song, okay? Quavo featuring Nicki Minaj. Hang on 1 second. I'll finish that thought. I am being joined by a special guest co-host, Lynette. You on here?
Yes, I am.
As you probably heard, I was getting off into my opinion on the whole Nicki Minaj situation.
Yeah, all right. You can go ahead and continue.
Okay. And what I was saying was, to me, the way the interview portrayed it, it was Quavo's song. He wanted her to do the song. And then here comes his brother, the Migos. We about to do this whole song. I liken that to my favorite author, James Patterson, coming to me and saying, hey, Pam, I want to write a book with you. I'm like, okay. Ultimately, at the end of the day, to me, it's still his book. And in this case, it's still
right.
Quavo's song. They came to you and asked you, could Cardi B be on there, which is fine, but it's not your song. So I don't think she should be butthurt because Cardi B wasn't singing her praises.
Yeah,
I think her diva attitude has gotten to her.
It's too much. Like, it's super cocky. Like, she want her butt kissed because she did the song and allowed her to be on there. Like, that's how she feels. So I'm like, get over it. Like, I don't understand why do they have to be pinned against each other. I'm a Nicki fan. I'm a Cardi fan. I don't like one over the other one. So why is it that we can like 10 male rappers, but we can't like 2 female rappers? It's the media that's pinning them against each other. And then you have Nicki fans going against Cardi fans, and it's just all being blown way too far out of proportion.
I agree with you there. they are really just making it more than what it should be. But I think it's really a comparison of the two. Both Cardi B and Nicki Minaj, in my opinion, are packaged Little Kim for today's generation. Because nobody was doing the extreme, taking them sexy photos like that, pasties over the titties at award shows before Little Kim.
True.
So I think that when Nicki came out, she came out as a repackaged Little Kim for that day and age. And people are like, oh, my God, Nicki Minaj, da-da-da-da-da. And they fell in love with her. But to me,
but
it's
you know
just
what?
Like...
She got, Nicki got backlash at first, too. When people first started realizing that she was mimicking Kim, she got the same backlash that Cardi getting. So she should understand the position that she in and try to, like, get together on it instead of continuously going against each other, and then now she's playing the victim. Like, she ain't escrewed her damn self.
That was beyond the victim in that interview, because I thought she was crying for a second. Like, I busted out laughing. I ain't gonna lie. I started laughing. I'm like, is she really crying about this? You are a celebrity.
No, I'm crying. People... I ain't even her.
Right. And you're a celebrity. People are going to pick apart your every single move. You could literally walk outside with your hair wrapped up, and they're going to be like, oh, what's wrong with her? What drug she on? They're going to pick apart your every single move. So I don't even understand why you're so bothered by this. Motorsport was, what, last year, early 2008? Ain't nobody heard from you. Ain't nobody seen you. So you're not relevant. You've been in the media spotlight long enough that, yeah, we know you're still there, but you're not out there every day like Cardi B is. Every time I turn around, Cardi B on something else. She's doing this. She's doing that. She's making people look at her.
She grinding.
And I think, right, and I think Nicki got to that point where she got so comfortable that she thought just if she posts a pic, that's going to make her stay relevant. I think she stopped her grinding because she was like, can't nobody touch me because ain't nobody touched me this far.
Right. And I don't remember her making another song into the Nicki and Remy beef. So it's like she only come out of hiding when someone else is trying to make an appearance. So she wanna maintain that top position. But you can't do it if you're not maintaining that work ethic that it took you to get there.
And I personally think she thinks she is the equivalent of Beyonce. Beyonce has been around forever. She don't have to release a song today, tomorrow, and grind that hard to stay relevant, because before it was Beyonce, it was Destiny's Child. Like, she did her work.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't pop. This isn't R&B. This is rap. Rappers are easily replaced. And if you want to maintain your status, like you said, you got to stay out there, stay relevant, and stay grinding.
Mm-hmm. And Cardi, she gives you something that Nicki Minaj doesn't. Cardi is right in your face with herself. Like, she giving you her completely. She going live on social media with no makeup on, hair all over the place, shit all over the floor. She's showing you that she's human, so it's easy to connect with her.
That is true. Because I don't think I can ever remember a video where it was just, like, real. I don't even, you know, before all her plastic surgery and stuff, like, I couldn't even tell you what Nicki Minaj looked like. I've never not seen her without makeup, without her hair done.
And see Cardi coming at you as herself, and she talking mad shit, and it's relatable because she's letting you know about her struggle. She's not pretending like she ain't never went through anything. She coming straight out the door, and she telling you how she went from the peas to the crib with the gate. Like, she just in your face with it. Like, she, if you look at her, it makes it seem like, okay, she was able to do it, so I should be able to do it too. Like, you know how you look to people for hope?
Yep.
She gives hope. And then, you know, you have a lot of people that are like, she shouldn't dress like that, or she shouldn't do this, or little girls watching her. She's not raising y'all children. That's your job. If your child is too young to be dressing or talking like her, then they don't need to be looking at her. She, like, you're supposed to be raising your own children. Don't try to look to the people in the public eye to raise your children for you. So now, okay, she don't, at the time, she didn't have any kids because she's pregnant now. But at the time, she don't have nobody that she need to be trying to be a role model to. She didn't feel the need to do it. But me, as a mom with daughters, and I'm a Cardi B fan, those two aren't connected for me. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But these people, they just like, they try to find, like Cardi even said how everybody was hurting her feelings. Remember when her teeth was messed up?
Mm-hmm.
She admitted that those comments hurt her feelings. How many people you know gonna actually tell the truth about their feelings being hurt about something?
Nobody.
She like,
nobody
give
is
you
not
hurt.
Real
I
with
ain't...
themselves.
Exactly. I have never seen that side of Nicki before.
No. No, she's never been that candid. And I had to think about that for a second. No, she ain't never been that candid. But that's where I think that she elevates herself into being other people. Because it is like a lot of people out there that aren't really candid about themselves. People still love them because, you know, of course, they're fans. But they're not candid about who they were before the fame. It's like that part don't exist
right.
no more. That struggle wasn't real no more. And I think we even see that in the writing industry. Like, it's enough light for everybody to do their own thing. But because I think people feel so threatened because a newcomer comes on the scene and people are liking them and, oh, why, you know, they don't deserve the clout that they get in. Everything, you know, somebody said to me, everything has been done before. It's just really all in about how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So Nicki Minaj and Cardi B are, in my opinion, repackaged Little Kims, but Cardi B is doing it in her own way.
And a whole lot of Cardi in the mix. It ain't just completely, oh, I like what she did, so I'm going to do that exactly.
Exactly.
So you
and
get
now
a
that
lot of
you
her.
Don't have a comeback for it, you don't know how to handle it.
You want to play victim now. I don't get it. Have you heard Invasion of Privacy?
I've heard certain songs. I have not sat and listened to the whole album. I stopped listening to the album after Bickenhead, only because Chickenhead used to be my song. You know, I love my 3-6, North Memphis. You know, I love 3-6. So it took me a little, you know, I'm going to finish the album, but I stopped listening after Bickenhead because, you know, that messed up Chickenhead for me. So.
Get some chicken. Get some bread.
Right. And I mean, I love how she referenced it. She kept the beat. And she didn't deny any of that. Like, and that, I think that goes back to Bodak Yellow.
Bodak Yellow.
Yes, like she came out and said, you know, she reached out to, what's his name, rapper Kodak Black or whatever that dude's name is, and talked to him before she even did the song because it's a lot of pun play on a song that he did.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people take something and they won't admit the steps that they had to take to get to it. But then you know that people, you can... Like, I've noticed, for example, Kanye West did a song and he made a comment about Taylor Swift in the song. Well, the comment was something along the lines of, I think Taylor Swift still owe me sex, why I made the bitch famous. So when the song came out, he was getting a lot of backlash behind that statement. So he went on to say that he called her before the song, before he even put the song, the statement in the song in the studio, he called her and he talked to her about that bar, and she was fine with it. They laughed and had a conversation about it. He said that now, but Taylor Swift said that was a lie. But you know what saved him? When he called her, Kim Kardashian recorded the conversation. So when Taylor Swift denied it, Kim Kardashian was able to say, "Nah, she lying," and hit play on her. So you know it was able to get the truth out, because she was like America's sweetheart or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember what the name. That's what they used to call her. So
it's something like that. She was like America's little sweetheart.
And that kind of tainted her image for that lie to come out, that she just lied about him asking her about it. You know, she pretended as if she didn't know anything about it until somebody played the song for her. Like, she put on a big show about it, but was lying the whole time. So I said that because I think when you talk to people about stuff like that, better make sure you record it like they did. Because, you know, with Cardi being a new person, it could happen to her easily. You know, she calling, she know what the real deal is, so she going to chop it up with you real quick, see how you feel about what she finna do. And now y'all can have this conversation yourself and you agree to it, but then when it come out, you know, what if they go against it? Like, that's not what they agreed to.
True, and I think that comes with believing your own hype. That over-the-top fake-it-till-you-make-it reality that people live in. It's okay to, you know, dream and believe that you're going to be something before you get there, because that's how the mind works. You have to trick yourself into believing that you're going to make it to the top, or that you're going to be great at whatever that you set out to do. But I think people get so wrapped up once they get there that lie that they fed themselves to reach that point then takes over their life. They become untouchable. And when somebody calls them out on ABS, they want to go into a deep spiral depression because they don't know how to handle or own up to the fact that they were wrong. And that's kind of what happened with Taylor Swift before her last album. You know, she disappeared. Nobody's seen her on social media. She wasn't photographed out. And she came out and said, you know, her feelings were hurt and she needed to go regroup and get herself back together. And she tried to come out more hardcore than what she actually was, because she had believed her hype for so long. And then when Kanye and Kim busted her little bubble, she was like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do.
Right. So we're going to go run hot. I lied. It backfired. Now what do I do? Basically. But I listen
think,
on the, huh?
Oh, no, go ahead. You listen on.
I listened to the Invasion of Privacy album probably about 37 times. It's only, I've enjoyed the album except for one song. You ever listen to, close it up back. You ever listen to a song and forget you was listening to it?
Yeah.
Like, that's how you know you don't really care for that song. I think it's called I Like It, or I Like It Like That. And in the beginning, you know, I was jamming, but when they started speaking straight Spanish, it kind of lost me for a minute, like, not for a minute, for the rest of the song. So now I just turn it. Whenever it come on, I just hit next and go on to the next one. But I like the album. Now, I just found out about Nicki's two singles, so I just listened to those probably about an hour or so ago. I didn't like neither one of those.
What made
you
not
them?
Like the songs?
The first one that I listened to, I think, is Barbie Teens.
Okay.
And it was like, when are we going to stop talking about somebody else? Like, I probably got a little distracted after she started taking shots at Remy again. So I'm like, is you gonna play the victim when it comes to Cardi, because you really don't feel like you can win in this situation? Now, they're both talented people. But I think for her, Remy is a easier win. So she went back to targeting her. And she made a comment about
Remy doesn't. Remy can rap, but she don't got that team behind her. Nothing wrong
right.
with Fat Joe and anybody over at Terror Squad, but she don't got that Young Money image behind her. And what I mean by that is Young Birdman, he's a smart-ass businessman. He
mm-hmm.
put a glamour team behind Nicki Minaj. Because whether she admits it or not, when she was first up and coming, she was out in Atlanta with the old Gucci, you know, before this whole I done lost 80,000 pounds and I'm chopping it up, Gucci, you know, that Gucci. She was out in Atlanta with Debbie Atney and Gucci Mane. She started off with So Icy and all of them out there. And when she got picked up by Young Money, Birdman and Cash Money put a glamour team behind her. They glammed up her image. Remy don't
so
got that
like,
behind
yeah.
her. I feel like
she
if
really
Remy
don't.
Had a Birdman style or an Atlantic or somebody on her the way that people are on Nicki or Cardi, she would have a better following, and she would have a better stage to come back.
Yeah, because she looks good, but
that.
She still needs. And it, you know, it makes a huge difference when you have someone like Lil Wayne them backing you.
Right, because they're out there, they're known. Wayne is everywhere.
Yeah, he is. So on the song, it was she made a comment about her money and about how the show ain't making her a big enough check or something like that. And I was just like, I guess I was probably over it at that point because I had just seen the article of her playing victim when it came to Cardi and you over here crying, talking about your feelings hurt, but then you put out a single and you're trying to hurt somebody else's feelings. So is that what we do? Well, she hurt my feelings, but I don't know how that's going to work out if I keep going back and forth with her. Because really, Cardi B ratchet. She'll fight. I don't really think Nicki got that in her. She just talk real good. But I
and it's easier to target
Nicki.
Somebody who done been in prison for 7 years and got a chance of going back, so they're not going to come at you really hard like that.
Right. You mess with Cardi and she might pull up. You never know what she gonna do because you don't know if she a loose cannon or if she, you know, still trying to figure out, you know, pick her battles or something like that. But you know Remy got a whole lot to lose. So she can't just do because Remy hardcore herself. But she don't want to go back to jail and leave her kids again. So, you know, she's going to be thinking a whole lot about her reaction. Because if you watch, is it Love & Hip Hop New York that Remy on?
I think so. I don't, I'm going to be honest. I don't watch much reality TV.
I think that's the one she on. But, like, for the listeners that watch Love & Hip Hop New York, if you pay attention, Remy stayed completely away from the bull. Like, she may have her moment where she's like, okay, we all gonna have to be around each other, so y'all need to squash it. And she really means squash it. Like, don't get up, don't throw no drink, don't try to flip no table. And if you do it, then she be damn near about to cut them girls off. Like, Bianca, the soda pop chicken noodle soup, that girl. And Bree.
Wait,
I don't know what you remember chicken noodle soup with a soda on the side?
Remember.
I couldn't think
yes.
of the name of it. That's Bianca. That was her, you know, like the one hit wonder thing. She's still trying to do music, but nobody wants to do business with her because she's such a hothead. Remy was like that, except like she'll shoot you. Like, So she tried to steer clear of that kind of stuff. Now, if you watch the show, it was an episode where she tried to get them to squash it. And when they still try to fight, she kind of just wiped her hands of it because she can't even be around that stuff without risking getting in trouble and leaving her family again. So it's easy to take shots at her because you know it ain't much that she's going to be able to do. She can go in the studio and she can say something back, but then it's kind of pointless to go back and forth with Nicki because she's going to go do another song with Wayne and Drake. So it's not just a diss song with her. Like, you can diss Nicki, but then she's going to go do an actual song that's going to make her more money than your diss record. So it's like I wouldn't even say anything to her. But at what point is she going to stop picking?
She won't. As long as there is the opportunity that somebody is going to steal her clout, she will never stop picking on somebody who she know can't defend themselves until people realize it. And you know that's the one thing about your fans. Your diehard fans will never see you're wrong.
Sure won't.
They will support you to the end of time and never see your wrongs.
Then they're gonna think every shot she takes at someone else is funny. And then when
right.
she gets to crying and wanting sympathy, she gonna get that from her fans. And then whenever you go against her, they gonna go against you. And to me, you know, you don't really want to try to take up for nobody because, well, I don't even know these people personally. While right past them, they won't know who you are. So, but
mm-mm.
you'll look at the internet and you'll see people, like, going in on each other. I mean, like, they say something bad about Nicki, then here come her fans. They done went through all the profile pictures, all the mobile uploads. They talking about your family. They talking about your children. And none of that even has nothing to do with the actual facts of what they into it for. So is Nicki trying to say that the whole beef started because she didn't feel like Cardi B kissed her ass enough after Motorsport?
Yeah. And to top it off, she tried to blame the stylist too. Tokyo Styles. She tried to blame that he couldn't do her hair, but he did Cardi's hair. Now, this is a stylist who's worked with other A-list celebrities. He don't need you personally, and really nobody, not saying that I didn't know about Tokyo beforehand, but Tokyo Styles, like, hairstyles have really been prominent on everything Cardi did. Every hairstyle she's had since she got her clout has come from him.
And now she basically is just trying to make the beef somebody else fault other than her own.
Right.
See, I don't get that. It's another semi-beef spewing. You know Boosie, right?
Yes, I love Boosie.
Good, me too. I like old Boosie. I haven't listened to anything semi-recent.
Yes, no, I ain't listened to nothing since he went to prison and came home.
Me neither. I'm like a set it off. Why? Tell me why they hating. Don't why
yeah,
one of those.
That's me.
Yeah. So, I think it was last year he came to Black Beach in Biloxi. And what that is, for the people don't know, is Black Spring Beach. And it's like a big spring break party that happens on Highway 90 in Biloxi, Mississippi, right past the casinos down there by the beach. And you have, it's like a huge block party. And they have concerts going on all throughout the weekend. So it's supposed to be fun. I don't ever go because I don't like being around people. Anyway, while he was there, Boosie not one of those people that come to our town and bring security. He, like, bring his homeboy. So they're at the mall in Biloxi, and apparently he was being harassed by the police. His chains came up missing. He was saying that the police stole his chains. The police were saying they didn't know what happened to him. But after he went public with it, his chains appeared. So somebody lying, right?
Right.
They tried to bring him back this year. He was completely against returning. He even made a video warning other rappers not to come over here. Like telling them everything that happened and just being completely against Biloxi, the police, the club promoters. Like he was completely against everyone. So the promoters from that area made a post on Facebook and, you know, they was explaining the situation and how they felt about it. And basically they were saying it's not their fault that incident happened between him and the police. So they didn't feel like he should be trying to stop their business because they shouldn't be associated with that. They also said that they weren't going to play any of his music in none of the clubs. And they asked that all of the other people that had stuff going on in that area not to play any of his music either. So my question is, do you think Boosie was wrong for bashing, like, the whole community? Or is he right? Or can you understand why he did it? And do you think the promoters are wrong for basically banning everything Boosie for the weekend?
I think with those events that the fault falls on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you as a celebrity, especially a rap celebrity, you are going to wear your chains. You're going to do, you know, you're going to wear your flashy clothes. You make yourself a target, especially in an area known to be a big-ass block party.
Mm-hmm.
So I think his fault lies in you didn't bring no security.
Right.
So that was his fault, number one, coming with no protection. When you are known like that, especially when you are so close to the hood, you need protection. Even if you a hood rapper, you know you need protection. For the promoters, I think they should know if your artist is coming with their own security and then have more security. You want to still make them accessible, but you still want to protect them because anything that artist does eventually falls back to you as a promoter because you brought them there.
Right.
And for the police to get involved, you are just there to protect and serve. You shouldn't be anywhere where you can be accused of taking or doing something unless you are moving that artist out of harm's way.
Exactly. And for everything to magically come up that was missing after he went public with it, let you know that somebody stole it. Like, it wasn't taken and then placed in evidence. Somebody was about to keep it.
Right.
And
it was about to rock
until he went public. Right. So I think with Boosie, he went too far with bashing everyone as a whole. Because Boosie has come here like 50 million times, and that hadn't happened before. So he should. I feel like since he was going to go public with it, then he should have said exactly what happened. But to try to take money out of those promoters' pockets by telling other rappers don't fuck with it, that was too far. Now, at the same time, I'm one of those people. My kids are so loud. I'm one of those people where all it takes is one bad experience for me not to go somewhere else. Like, it could be my favorite restaurant or whatever the case may be, and I can love everything about it. But if I go and I'm being treated like shit, I ain't going back again. But that don't mean I'm finna go public and tell everybody what happened and tell them not to go too, because your experience may not be mine. Then when I think about the promoter's part, when they're saying, we're not going to play Boosie, and I don't think y'all should either, I'm like, all I can think about is what y'all going to play. Because if I'm going somewhere, I'm going to want to hear Set It Off. I'm gonna want to hear Mad or Hayden or you know some old song Ease My Mind with him and Webb. Like I'm gonna want to hear them. So what you gonna replace it with? So I was like super confused about it. So I shared it on Facebook to get the opinions of the people around here, and we had people, you know, that know the area well and know that the citizen in Biloxi don't want Black Beach to happen in Biloxi. They're already setting up roadblocks over there, and the festivities don't start until Friday, I think. But they already setting it up, so you're going to get in trouble. They're about to line everybody going. When I tell you, they're going to have police out there on bikes. They're going to have, like, bicycles. They're going to have them out there walking. They already said you can't ride four-wheelers, and that's just something they started this year because you used to be able to. So it's like they're making it super hard for you to go over there and enjoy yourself. And I'm knowing that they about to be setting up roadblocks so they can pull you over as soon as you leave. They're going to find every reason in the world to lock you up. They're going to be towing vehicles. It's going to be super hard to have fun because it's a Black event. See, when you have things in Biloxi like Cruising the Coast or Mardi Gras, you don't see anybody from that area saying anything about the trash being in the road afterwards. But as soon as Black Beach come, then you got all the people saying with the signs up in the stores, you know, the whole no shirt, no shoes. Like, you know, everybody walking around with bathing suits. It's a block party at the beach. They don't do that during other times. You know, it'd be mostly other. Cruising the Coast is for older white people. It's what the Cruising the Coast is. You have the old school vehicles, and they come through driving them. And that stops traffic worse than anything. Because, you know, they're going like 5-10 miles per hour to show off their vehicles. They're parked all over the place. Their vehicles aren't getting towed. But they got rules up for Black Beach already, letting you know that they finna tow your vehicle. They got hotels participating. They're saying, if you're not a guest, don't park here. And none of that has been happening. So if it was me, I wouldn't even go. I'd be trying to push to have it moved to somewhere in Florida because, you know, Florida gonna love that money. But I said that because people was bringing that up under the booster stuff. They was like, well, I don't know what they want to go over there for anyway. They not want it there. And I personally just not going to go somewhere where I know I'm going to be mistreated. I know if I'm walking around with a beer, the police going to come. You got your ID? You know you're not going to have your ID on you when you got a bathing suit on. And it's against the law not to have your ID.
Stuff money. Shut up, Pam.
Walking around with a card in your bikini. Right? Because I'm not going. But the horse show is the same weekend, so if I go somewhere, I go to the horse show.
All right. We have a caller on the line. Let's get this caller's opinion. Hey, caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are y'all today?
We are wonderful.
All right, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was just listening to you talk about the Black Beach situation. Of course, they are going to have all kind of crap going on because it's an all-Black event. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to start everything they can start just so we can riot because that's what they are going to expect. They're going to expect
right.
us to act a fool and act like animals. They're going to already have the news channels down there waiting for everything to pop off. It's just it's
right.
ridiculous the way they treat us. They've been scrutinizing against us for years. And we as a community, we eat out of their hands when stuff like that happens. Rather than banding as one, we band against each other. Because even going back to earlier what you were saying about how Nikki is keep attacking Remy and keep attacking all of the other female rappers because she knows who's backing her. That's the same thing the police do to us as Black community. They know who they have behind
mm-hmm.
them, so of course they're going to come after us because they expect us to eat out of their hands and play into what they want us to play into.
True.
It's just ridiculous, you know. Black Beach has been around for I don't know how many years. You know, They go to Atlanta and they go to Texas for the Kappa Beach Party, and they go to all these different states that don't have these problems, because those states know that, those parties and those get-togethers and those festivals are bringing in money to keep their states up and running. Whereas
right,
in
a lot of money.
Yeah. Whereas in Mississippi, they don't care. All money ain't good money to them. So they see an opportunity to keep all these niggas off their beach. They're going to take it for what it is, because they want to keep Biloxi, quote-unquote, clean. They want
mm-hmm.
the people with more money to come to their beaches. They want the people with more money to come and stay into those hotels. So by us not paying the $140, $150 a night, of course they're going to keep us out of their parking spots. Of course they're
mm-hmm.
going to keep us out of their lot. They're going to do everything that they can do to make us feel like animals. And we as a community going to go out there and take it out on each other rather than banding together and getting these people straight.
Right.
You know, and it saddens me to see how we already have everybody against us, and we just play into their hands and become against each other as well. I've been
every
black
single
people
time.
A few times, and it is an event to attend. You know, it's where all the black people who are doing their thing are at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice. They have bike shows and they have all kind of stuff going on. It's an interesting place. I wouldn't say bring your kids, but it's fun.
No.
You know,
it's
something for us to do, something to keep us out of trouble. And because everybody is on the beach having fun at that moment, they got to get their numbers up. Biloxi police, they're looking. They're looking for whatever they can do to get their numbers up, to get them taxes in the jail system, so they can have families
mm-hmm.
down there with that bail money and all kind of other stuff. They're looking to bust somebody in their head. You know? So I hope that we as a community don't play into it this year. Because eventually, I can say in the next 10 years, it's going to be non-existent. It ain't going
to
be.
So they're making it harder.
Yeah, because they're making it harder. The vendors are not going to want to be out there. People are not going to want to spend their money to go out there just to get ran in before the fun even starts.
Right.
So, you know, I can agree
they don't be out
with
there.
Everything you said.
And when the police get scared, they pull out. If they don't pull out a gun, they're going to pull out the mace. I've seen police try to mace one person and spread directly into the crowd.
Into the crowd, because they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they're looking at, it's 10 niggas to one. They don't refer to us as people. They've always referred to us as niggas. Even the black cops refer to us as niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they brainwashed, because they cops. They carry a badge. They belt makes them inferior. So no.
It's a sad case.
And I'm just
I would definitely, you know, I'm not going. But
I don't blame you.
I'd rather put them in the movie.
I don't blame you for not going, you know. We go to Freaknik, we go to the Kappa Beach Party. We don't have to worry about all of that. These people want their money. They're looking at all the money that's on their beach bringing in revenue for the state. But Mississippi and Louisiana, they're two totally different states. They're still redneck states.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to always be redneck states. And that's the sad part about it. Like, come on. Our money is green just like everybody else's.
Right, but they, like you said, they look at us different.
They do. They look at us differently, and it just sucks. Because we try to go out there and enjoy ourselves just like anybody else. When y'all have them KKK rallies, we don't come out there spraying y'all with water. Like, come on. But I just had to call in and say, because I totally understand where you're coming from. even when it's Mardi Gras in New Orleans, we get treated. This past Mardi Gras was the worst one in history.
What happened at Mardi Gras?
They tried to fucking have an open container law. When did New Orleans ever have an open container law?
Ever. Damn, there go my trip to New Orleans.
You know, so this year, my son was like, Mama, I got stopped 3 times. He turned 21 on Mardi Gras day. I got stopped 3 times. He had never had a drink. This year, he turned 21. He waited till he was legal and got caught it 3 times. Out in the public with everybody else who had open containers, he got stopped 3 times. You know, all they seen was a young black male. They don't see what we see. They didn't see that he graduated high school with a 4.25 GPA. They didn't see that he was an all-pro sport. They don't know anything besides his exterior. So they see a young black man with liquor in his hand, and they want to stop him and caught him, thinking that he was going to get in trouble. The boy will miss one day out of school in 12 years. You know? And it just sucks that we get, you know, it sucks that we just categorize.
Right.
So
definitely makes it real hard.
That's what makes it real hard. He's an engineer, third year of engineering. They didn't care about that. They just cared that they seen a black man with a cup in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Mama, I had the same drink. They got caught it 3 times.
Yeah, they don't make a bit of sense. They just.
Don't be careful. Go to Papa's house and go to sleep before you go back to Baton Rouge, because he goes to Southern University in Baton Rouge. So he was staying with my dad. I'm like, just go to Grandpa's house and cool off before you go back home.
Oh, dang. We sure appreciate you calling in so you can make your comment. We're going to take another caller before we go. We have 10 minutes left.
All right. Thank you.
All right. No problem.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. That was a conversation. Like, raising a son. I'm not going to lie. I just listening to her testimony. Raising my son, I don't want to let my kids go outside no more. That's why I was sitting back quiet, just taking all that in, because my son will be 18 in June, and just, I don't know, maybe I live in a bubble. I think I live in a bubble because I keep my kids close to the chest, and knowing that, you know, one day they're going to be old enough to go to events like that, I just want to kind of keep them with a leash. You know them little leashes you see people be having on their kids in the airport? I want one
of
those.
It's real easy to keep your children sheltered so they don't know what's going on in the world, because you want to keep your kids happy and innocent for as long as you possibly can. But you also want to inform them of what's going on too. So at what age do you start telling them what's going on?
I want to say the younger the better.
Oh, no. You know, I got my little boy and I got my girls, and I guess you just trial and error around here. It's real hard. It's very hard. You going to get another caller before we go out?
We don't got one. I think everybody's listening online.
Oh, okay. Well,
I told
need...
people to inbox us on Facebook, too. So I hope they got the message.
If they want to come in or something.
Yeah, inbox us on Facebook. I'm going back and forth between the studio and Facebook trying to, you know, see if we got some inboxes with some questions.
Well, I have one more quick topic.
Let's
see. Lord. I posted about it on.
Wait, hold on.
Super deep, you know?
Okay. It's... long as it ain't, you know, we not gonna go back to the talk of last night, you know.
Oh no. I'm trying to find it. Okay, so here's the question that I posted on Facebook. If the absent parent is legally on child support, should they still help with the care of the child or children outside of what they already pay?
Yeah.
I have people who completely disagree. Let me see. I'm going to read a comment. I'm going to make sure she stays anonymous. But I'm going to read to you what she said because, you know, normally it's not a woman that disagrees with it. Give me 1 second while I find this comment. Okay, I'm not going to say her name. I'm just going to read the comment. Been there, and I don't totally agree with you all. My daughter lived with her dad, so on top of the child support, I was still doing everything, and he was doing nothing but providing a roof over her head. I'm all for taking care of my child because we both made her, but at the end of the day, help out. Every time she needed her hair done, school clothes, personal stuff, any damn thing, I did it with no problem. She was my baby girl, and I would do anything. But the messed up part is when you talk so bad about me and know you lying that when my baby turned 18, she still rather stay with you. So you can help out all you want, but I feel the parent she or he stays with should help also. How your deadbeat dad and your child lives with you, but still calls me right now for money. Nope, I'm done. I did my part, and apparently it was unappreciated. So bye. What are your thoughts on that?
As a mother, I don't know who left the comment, and I didn't make it through all the comments when I was reading that. But as a mother, stop at her. And nothing personally against her, just the idea or the concept. Having 4 children of my own, and I've been a mom since I was 14 years old. My children's dads may pay a $10 here, $5 there, but every single want, need, necessity, doctor's appointment, everything that they've ever needed on this earth, I have provided. Now, I'm the type of person, I think I would be homeless before I ask for help, and that's just me personally with a pride issue. But as a mother, when you carry a child for 9 months and you give birth, if you don't feel some sort of connection, some unbreakable bond, I feel like you are just a heartless motherfucker. And you have shared your body, your heart, morning sickness. You have went through hell to bring a child into this world to let that child go just like that. And I understand, you know, sometimes you can't help if a child need to go live with their other parent. But you,
right,
at the end of the day, are still a mother. And that even goes for dads with custody of their children that's had their children forever. If the other parent feels that way, you laid down with the wrong motherfucker. Because it's easy for a man, because we see men as not supposed to be emotional. They're not supposed to show that they care, that they're hurt, or that they're mad. So when they walk away and say, I don't give a fuck, we can give them a pass. I don't believe a man or a woman deserves a pass. Just because you throw a little few dollars here, you might pay for their hair to get done. That is not being a parent. What happens when your child stub their toe, break their arm, come home crying because somebody done picked on them? Where is the parent then? I don't give a damn if you don't live in the same house. If they pick you up, if they pick up the phone and say, Mama, I was at school and so-and-so said I was ugly and it hurt my feelings, the first thing you – well, let me take that back because I was about to say the first thing you should do is go beat that little kid's ass. But you should be comforting. You should not give a damn that that other parent might be trying to poison that child against you, because the one thing about kids, yes, they can be conditioned, but kids also can form their own opinions. Even the most conditioned person in life will be able to formulate an opinion outside of another person. It may not show immediately like most people want it to, but they will be able to formulate their own opinion. So if So if you're not there for your child will eventually see. It don't take a parent, male or woman, to say, oh, your daddy ain't shit, your mommy ain't shit. Yes, you will condition that child to hate, but if you do it so often, and then when that child get old enough and they start seeing that other parent and say you relying, all that shit come to light, then it done backfired on you, and you the fucked up parent now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for her comment, by and done, because it wasn't appreciated, who says it wasn't appreciated? Was it not appreciated because your daughter still chose to live with her dad? She's probably in a comfort zone, and living with dad is all she knows. You know, I don't know her history, but just given that little bit of information, you leave so much to question. Why is your child comfortable?
Right.
You know, if your
Why
baby dad
isn't your
is
child
telling
with
her,
you?
Right, all this bad stuff, is he still bitter at you? Have y'all not been adult enough to sit down and try to work out whatever issues y'all got for the sake of this kid?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my son told me one time he wanted to go live with his dad. And I packed up my son's stuff, and I took him to his dad. And this wasn't me being vindictive. This wasn't me trying to prove a point. But he is a boy, and no matter how hard, no matter what I do in this life, I can't raise him to be a man. I can show him
right.
what a man, you know, I can tell him what a man is supposed to do. I can show him how to be a good human being, a decent citizen, a good person, but I can't show him how to be a man. I don't think any woman can do that for her son.
No.
But I do, so when I took him to his dad, and me and his dad talked about it, and mind you, me and my baby dad, we don't talk for nothing. Nothing at all. Our son about to graduate on May 15th, and I still don't know if he's coming. And it's not that we dislike each other, but we know we are the type of people that the only time we should be communicating is for the sake of our son. I just haven't been able to reach him. Other than that, we don't need to talk to each other because we're going to kill each other. So when I took him,
but
sorry,
your son
back
is
my friend,
old
I got
enough
off
to
topic.
Have that. Oh.
But when I took him over there, my son was supposed to stay for 2 weeks. I took him with all his clothes, I bought food, and I gave him money. The only thing was where his dad lived was 20 minutes away from, we lived in a different city, so it was 20 minutes away. The only thing I said is you have got to be up by 6 to get him to school by 7 because that bell ring at 7:05. And my son a slowpoke, so if he don't get up at 4, you know, at 5:30, he not getting to school on time. His dad called me 2 days in and said he need to come home because I'm not going to be able to get him to school. So I kindly drove my happy ass back over there and collected my child. But for those 2 days, it was me getting up and going 20 minutes to take him to school and bring him home and take him every day. And I didn't complain about it. I didn't cuss him out. I didn't do any of that. And as my son has gotten older, he's been able to formulate his own opinion about his dad. Now, I may feel one way about my baby dad, but my son will never know that.
Right.
And based off that comment that you read, it sounds like she's told her child that she's being ungrateful about the things that she has done. I don't think you should do that. Especially if
Me
that
neither.
Child is not with you.
I don't think absent parents understand the impact that they have on the children by not being there. And you don't have to be in a relationship with the other parent in order to still be an active parent.
But it's an out-of-sight, out-of-mind concept. If the kid ain't there 24-7, if they ain't living in your house, laying in your bed, having to see you and that kid 24-7, when you out of mind, you out of sight. So they don't have to think about you until you pick up the phone and possibly need something, or until you pick up the phone and the child is hurt, or the child, you know, want to talk to him after 4 months of not hearing from that other parent.
Right. And it really, it shouldn't even be like that. I feel like both parents should go above and beyond for their children. If you can do that in the beginning, then it won't be a need for child support.
I don't believe in child support. I personally don't believe in child support. I believe that either you're going to do it or you ain't, but either way it's going to get done. Like, and the only time I ever had child support was I went through the system for assistance, so, you know, they're going to try to get their money back.
Mm-hmm. Every time. That's how I ended up opening the case, too.
And then, you know, you get the phone calls from the absent parent. They taking money out my check. What the fuck you think that $50, $25, $10 going to do outside of send the kids to the fucking store to buy some candy or something?
Right. Because that's all it's going to do, buy some snacks.
And then them snacks maybe only going to last, what, 1 week, 2 weeks if we lucky? And then I'm back to footing 100% of the bill. Don't call me on that. You want your $25 back? I had got to the point. I was like, you know what? You want your money back? Come get this goddamn card.
And once my need for just take the card.
I did. Just take the damn card. And once my need for assistance was over, girl, I took my ass right down there. I said, you know what? Close all these cases. And that white woman, I never forget. She looked me in my face and she said, what about your child and the monetary needs of your child? I said, I done handled it this long. I don't want shit from him that he's not willing to provide on his own.
Well, I'm going to get it. $25. Give it to me. I ain't do this. I ain't lay down and get myself pregnant because I ain't asexual. You came over here and you had these babies. You're going to help me. And my situation, the only reason he's on child support is because I needed help. This was before I started writing. I was working two jobs, had the daycare being, you know, daycare costs just as much as the rent.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed help. He helped at first. But when he got in a relationship, he stopped helping. And I remember asking him, you know, it's your turn to pay daycare this week. And that boy told me if I wanted help, I was going to have to get it from the white man. The next morning, I went down there and I pursued the case. As soon as they took the first little $12 out of his check, he hit me up going off. No, you said it. I just did what you told me to do. And now he feels like, since I have gotten myself together, I should reverse the child support, like take him off. Because I'm doing well, that means you don't have to take care of your kids no more. No, give me my little funk ass $25. My kids can go and get their honey bun from the grocery store because they like honey buns and they like fudge rounds. And if I ain't got a bow, then that little $25 finna go buy my kids their honey buns.
I feel you. So I want to thank everybody who listened to me and Lynette tonight. You know, we could only do 1 hour, but thank you, Octavia, for letting us provide unfiltered lip service to the masses. Again, as I said, you know, check out the latest release from our pen sister, Octavia Grant, Captured by the Game 2. You can find it on Amazon, along with books from me and Lynette ourselves. And if you got time tomorrow, tune in. I'll be online with Miss Desi Baby, and we will be bringing you out the gate with Pammy Gates. Have a good night, everybody.
Oh, DJ Khaled, Cosmic Music, we the best. Yeah, we taking over. Listen.
Spread out with South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi.